This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Sixth Sunday of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. "The apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, of Gentile origins, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey this same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meat of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell." The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. O God, let all the nations praise you.
O God, let all the nations praise you.
May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation.
O God, let all the nations praise you.
May the nations be glad and exult, because you rule the peoples in equity, the nations on the earth you guide.
O God, let all the nations on earth praise you.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear him.
O God, let all the nations praise you. A reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates, where 12 angels were stationed, and on which names were inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stone as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you will rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now that I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We have the sixth Sunday of Easter, and before we hop in the readings today, I wanted to remind folks that this is Memorial Day weekend. We'll have a holiday on the Monday. And so Memorial Day is a federal holiday. It's the last Monday in May, honoring men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. It was originally known as Decoration Day, and it originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. So for those families who are affected by those who died in the military, our hearts do go out to you, and we thank you for your family's service, your dedication, and everything that your family has done for our country. Thank you. I also want to mention that this Thursday is Ascension Thursday. So a little bit of a tidbit, I guess. So Ascension Thursday happens on Thursday, in the Diocese of Boston, Hartford, New York, Omaha, and Philadelphia. But the rest of us celebrate it actually the following Monday. So please at least recognize Ascension Thursday, and then most of the United States will celebrate it on the following Sunday. And we move into our first reading today. This is from the Acts of the Apostles. There's a lot of dissension going on. And I would say with many councils or dogmatic statements in our church's history, they're often in response to division or disagreements that the church is sort of grappling with. And so in today's reading, we see that some Jewish Christians were incorrectly teaching that unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved. Well, where did this teaching come from? Well, it comes from Genesis 17, when God formed a covenant with Abraham. So it's something that happened as part of the history of the Israelites. It's something that was taken very seriously to be a good Jew. This had to something that was had to be taken seriously. So Paul, Barnabas, and some others went to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles because of all this debate that was going on. And that is what formed what we call the Council of Jerusalem. That was in AD 48 or so. Well, with this Council of Jerusalem, we actually, in this reading, unfortunately, are missing 19 verses. And in those verses, Peter defines the doctrine, and then James then teaches the doctrine. So it might be worth it to go back to those 19 verses and actually see the wording that was done there. And really out of this came two items of importance: that Jewish Christians were acting on their own and lacked the authority on their own, so they did not have that authority to teach. So coming back to that, how important the three-legged stool of truth is: Scripture, Magisterium, and Apostolic tradition. That's so important. That was one big thing that comes out of this. The other important thing, I believe, is the importance of the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, how circumcision is replaced with baptism, how the 12 tribes of Israel are fulfilled in the 12 apostles, how the Mosaic Law is filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why at the end of this reading it says, it is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. The Holy Spirit guides our magisterium to speak the truth in faith and morals, and how important that is to be led by the Holy Spirit in our church.
Yeah, and that was a very important thing to have happen, was to have the authority of the church define whether or not what these dissenters were saying, you know, whether the circumcision was really something necessary that had to precede baptism. And this is why we still use this practice in the church. We have the guidance from the Holy Spirit and the Pope. We know whenever questions like that, they go to a council. And, you know, this is why it's so important, the role of a Pope. A good and dutiful Pope is as important to the church as good parents are in a family. When parents overlook bad behavior of one child, or maybe that they're unduly harsh on another, dissension breaks out among the siblings. When parents are inconsistent or derelict in their parenting duties, the family suffers dysfunction and division. And this is the reason that the Pope must be clear and concise with all public statements that he makes. When a Pope is absent in his duties and obligations and well-meaning but careless in issuing confusing public statements, it can wreak havoc on the members of the church, and it can fuel dysfunction and division. And with that said, I am going to jump into the second reading. And we have this reading from the book of Revelations. You know, Kevin, my favorite line from this reading is, "The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The light that shines through the Lamb is still with us today, and that light is manifested in the Holy Eucharist and readily available to all those worthy to receive the sacrament in Holy Communion."
And I love how these readings this day really focus on that, the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. Because in here we see the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. The old covenant was the Jewish temple. The new covenant is with the Catholic Church and the fullness of faith. We see in the readings how the names of the 12 tribes of Israelites are on this holy city, and that represents the old covenant. And then we also have the 12 apostles of the Lamb appointing to the new covenant. And you talked about the temple. "I saw no temple in the city." The word for temple means inner shrine, and there's no need for a temple when you are in God's direct presence. He is the temple. Now, we need to make sure sometimes with our Catholic faith to not make things too complicated. And so I think Joan of Arc has a great quote when she was being questioned. And she says this, "About Jesus Christ and the church, I simply know that they're just one thing, and we shouldn't complicate the matter."
I like that.
A lot of wisdom in that simplicity, isn't
it? Yes, there is.
Well, let's go ahead and move to the Gospel of John today.
Okay, Jesus tells us that just as he is telling his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word." And that's as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. And today we live in a world where people confuse their own words with the word of the Lord. They have replaced the Ten Commandments with the Ten Suggestions, and they take liberty to retrofit the law of God to accommodate their own personal comfort zones, many of which have no room for personal sacrifices, and they reject the need to carry a cross. But Jesus will call each of us to pick up our cross and follow him. Those of us who truly love Jesus will keep his word even when we're facing hardships. Jesus tells us that he came to bring us peace, and he explains that his peace is not the same notion of peace that the world has to offer. Our culture tells us that peace is found on a warm, sunny beach in a tropical paradise where we can escape from the problems of life. But Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit to us as a way to escape from the hardships of life. He sent the Holy Spirit to equip us with the grace that we're going to need to battle evil, to persevere against temptation, and to find clarity in the midst of chaos.
Yeah, and expanding on that idea of peace, remember, Christ says, "My peace I give to you." Well, I think you did a great job talking about worldly peace, and I wouldn't actually mind sitting on a beach for a little while.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But I think you're right. The worldly view of peace is no divisions, no conflicts, like you're saying, no hardships. No, Christ gives us his peace and his shalom. And what that means is he's not necessarily giving us peaceful circumstances, but peace in all circumstances. And we need his peace as we wage this spiritual warfare. But know that this inner orientation of peace that Jesus gives us, he gives us because he loves us so much that he bled and died for us. He forgives us our sins. He forgives us. He gives us the sacraments. He is our advocate, and he is near us always. That is the shalom that Jesus Christ gives us.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATERDEI radio.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MaterDayRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.